Good morning.
Good morning.
Another warm welcome to you all. Let's continue with a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to come to you. Lord, you are the foundation of everything. You're the foundation of everything in this world. Lord, you're the foundation of everything that we have. And so, Lord, we come to you, and as we have been praising your name, and as we have been bringing our thanksgiving to your throne, and as we have been laying down in worship before your throne, Lord, so now we come to your word and ask that you soften our hearts, and by the power of your Spirit, Lord, you teach us and direct our paths. For your name's sake and your glory, amen. Okay, well, if you have a Bible with you, you can turn to Psalm 119. Because that's where we're continuing this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit this morning about freedom. And it's something you certainly hear an awful lot of people talking about freedom. And quite rightly so, because there's people live under an awful lot of oppression in this world. In fact, coming up to Remembrance, one of the reasons why we're remembering the sacrifice of so many is because it preserved our freedom. From the Nazi dictatorship of the time. But you hear many, many people talking about freedom. And as I said, some with very, very good reason. But one of the things I realise is that few people realise what true freedom is all about. You see, Jesus, when he was in this world, he talked about freedom. And yet he didn't free the people from the tyranny of being ruled by the Roman Empire. He spoke words to slaves, but he didn't speak to them words that were going to set them free from the masters that ruled over them. So what Jesus had in mind was a different freedom when he was talking. That's not to play down the importance of physical freedom in this world. We're not condoning, as Jesus wasn't condoning slavery. But that was just not what he was talking about when he talked about freedom. And I remember Taddy said, he reminded us recently of when he was in prison reading about Jesus setting the captives free, and he went, oh yeah, come on Jesus, open these doors for me. But no, Jesus didn't have that in mind. And what I was thinking of when I was thinking about freedom is, and when I said earlier that few people really realize what true freedom is all about, is because what people talk about today as freedom is actually just slavery. What they're talking about and saying they want freedom for this or freedom for that or freedom to do this or freedom to do that, what they're saying is they want the freedom to be enslaved to self, or they want the freedom to be enslaved to sin. Or they want the freedom to be enslaved to Satan. They obviously don't realize that it's because of the whole deception of this world, because of the father of lies. But what most people refer to as freedom is simply slavery under the cloak of lies. Well, we've been going through this series and we've been looking at how God speaks. And we see that God speaks in a number of different ways. We see how God speaks creatively. And one of the examples that we always refer back to is Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis. Let there be light, and there was light. God speaks and it creates. We see that God's word, he speaks decisively. He tells people, this is how it is. Adam, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you will surely die. That's just how it is, Adam. That's his decisive word. And then he speaks redemptively, how that after Adam and Eve had disobeyed, how that he said that a day is coming when the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, i.e. he was going to redeem humanity from the position that they now find themselves in. And then the other example that we keep referring to is Mount Sinai, when God gave the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words. And we see how that most people think of that episode as a time when God simply gave his decisive word, as in the forms of do not do this, do not do the other, and do not do the other. But we saw right back a number of weeks ago how that it all starts with God's creative and redemptive word. Because God is saying, I'm doing a new thing in you. First of all, I'm delivering you out of Egypt, out of slavery. I have done that for you. And I am creating in you, I'm creating you to be a new people. My people. And then he's giving there the decisive word as to, and this is how you're to live. We've been looking at Psalm 119 because it's so, so important how we respond to the word of God. It was, if you want to see how important it is, look to the story of Adam and Eve. If Adam and Eve had responded differently to the word of God, well, who knows? Who can even imagine? In Mount Sinai, and you look through the rest of the Old Testament, you see how time and time again, the children of Israel responded to God's word in the wrong way. And the calamities that came upon them as a result. So it is very, very important. Last week we saw how that the psalmist, and Steph reminded us, the psalmist recognized that it was a matter of life and death. How he responded to the word of God. Well today, and I'll just read it for you because it's just one verse before we get into Psalm 119. Is back in Exodus 20. It's the ninth commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And we will be referring to that command as we go on, but we're seeing how the psalmist is relating to all the word of God, all the commands, the statutes, the decrees, the precepts, the law in its entirety. So last week, Steph reminded us, the psalmist had been saying, you've been coming to God, God, teach me. But don't just teach me, direct my paths. Bring the power so that I can walk in the ways that you've just taught me. And turn my eyes away from all the selfish gain. All the things that are going to tempt me to walk in a different path. The things that we might covet, the I wants in this world, the things that we might want to steal. Turn my eyes away from such things. Well, this morning we're going to carry on verse 41. And I'll just read it right through to start with, and then we'll go through it a bit at a time. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. And I meditate on your decrees. Well, we're going to start this morning in verse 41 because it is very much the foundation that the rest of this passage is built upon. In fact, we see that the idea behind it is the foundation that the whole psalm is based upon. It's a psalmist recognizing his reliance upon God. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. He, the psalmist, and everything he's going to say is reliant upon the faithfulness of God. His faithfulness, the psalmist says, it's your faithfulness to love me. It's your faithfulness to save me is what I am relying on. And you notice here, we go back to the threefold way in which God speaks. Well, we're very much still talking about the decisive word of God, as in his commands, because we're looking at some of them. The psalmist recognizes that first and foremost, it's about what God has created and what God has redeemed. It's God's redemption, it's God's grace and God's mercy. The psalmist isn't coming on any grounds of his own. At the end of the section, you're going to read about how he loves the word of God. But the psalmist isn't coming saying, because I love your word, Lord, save me. No, no. He is recognizing right at the outset his dependence upon the grace of God, his dependence upon the mercy of God and the redemption of God. It's the foundation for him. The foundation of what he's going to say isn't based upon his situation, on whether he's going through good times or whether he's going through bad times. The foundation of what he's going to say isn't based upon the psalmist's faithfulness, on whether he feels as though he's been faithful that week. It certainly isn't based on the psalmist's feelings. The psalmist isn't saying, well, I feel loved today, so there I'm going to say this. It is based solely on the faithfulness of God. If we go over to verse 43, and we're going to jump about a wee bit within this short passage. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. See, not only is God, or is the psalmist saying that he's reliant upon God for God's overarching love, for God's overarching grace, his overarching mercy, his overarching salvation, but the psalmist is coming with something very specific and saying, God, I'm relying on you for something really specific as well in my life. And what does he say? He says, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth. What the psalmist here is talking about is what he says, the things in which he speaks of. And that's why we're relating what we're talking about today and what the psalmist is talking about back to the ninth command, the command of do not bear false testimony. When we think about do not bear false testimony, we maybe first and foremost think about, well, maybe God's just talking about a court situation, you know, when someone's brought up to settle a dispute. Well, in that case, you just have to be, you have to be honest, you have to tell the truth. But of course, we know in the Word of God, and we know as we go right through the Word of God and we go even further into the New Testament, we see that it's really talking about every aspect of our lives, to not have falsehood. And not just not to have falsehood, but to have truth. You see, when we rely on lies, when we rely on falsehood, it's back to what we were talking about last week. It's all about self-gain. The reason we tell lies is because we perceive in our fallen nature that it's to the detriment of other people, our neighbor, and it's to the benefit of ourselves. That's why we tell lies. We think we're doing it. Self thinks it's doing itself a favor. It is benefiting itself, which is a load of rubbish. It's just a part of the whole deception in which we live. And that's what the psalmist is realizing, or that's what he knows. And that's why he is reliant upon God not to snatch the word of truth from his mouth. Because, see, truth goes so much further. So often, you know, you hear about a situation and someone says, you say to them, and did you tell the truth? Yes, well, I didn't tell any lies. And people assume telling the truth is the same as not telling lies. But it's not. The truth is like, think of it as like full disclosure. It talks about keeping nothing hidden. No secret motives, no hidden agendas, nothing. It's like, Lord, shine your light in so that there's no shadows in what I'm doing. Let's see the pure truth. It's disclosure. It's revelation. So if there's a situation and you say that you tell the truth in the situation, you disclose everything there is about that situation. It's so much more than not telling lies. And the psalmist knows that it's completely beyond him. The psalmist knows what self is like. The psalmist knows how deceived he can be. And so that's why he's relying upon God to help him. He needs God's help. It's beyond him not to be truthful. is beyond him. To be completely open, honest, transparent, it's beyond him. And so he's crying to God to help him. And then we're going to look a little at the importance of why the psalmist sees it important that he speaks the truth. Verse 42. Then I will answer the one who taunts me. The truth is going to be his defense. When the Lord comes and the Lord is faithful in his love for the psalmist, when God comes and is faithful in his salvation for the psalmist, when the God comes and is faithful to his promise to the psalmist to help him, well then he will have an answer for the one who taunts him. The enemies that come against him, whether they be physical enemies that are taunting him, whether it be spiritual enemies like the thoughts that are going on in his mind that are taunting him, telling him not to be so stupid. You should just behave like everyone else behaves. And forget about all this truthfulness and the word of God and all this honesty. That's not the way it works in this world, would be the thoughts that would come to him. But the psalmist knows that only when he depends upon the truth will he have an answer for the taunter, the one who taunts him. Think of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the enemy. If Jesus was holding any hidden motives of what he was going to do in this world, well, he wouldn't have survived the temptation. He could only return and have an answer for the tempter because his ways were pure. His ways were honest. His ways were transparent. He was wholeheartedly doing the will of the Father. He had an answer for the one who taunted him. Verse 46. The psalmist says, I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. It is wonderful. Not only does the psalmist have a defense for when people come and attack him, but he's also got the confidence to go out on the offense and to declare and to share the word of God with other people, even kings. Don't have a problem with who it is. Why? Well, back to his foundation, because he's a confidence in who God is. He's a confidence that whatever he says about God, as it reflects the truth of who God is, God will come through. If he's saying this is the promise that God makes, well, he is confident that God will fulfill that promise. So he's a confidence in who God is and in God's faithfulness. The other thing is, if he's walking in this integrity and truth, he's got nothing to hide. He's got nothing to lose. See, one of the things I have found is that part of the reason why we sometimes don't want to share the word of God is because we have hidden things within us. We have pride within us, or we have self-ambition within us, and we think, well, maybe if I shared the word of God now, that person will think differently of me and I won't be as successful in work, or I won't have as many friends, and self takes over. And self starts breeding falsehood, and as soon as things are hidden, which is the opposite of the truth, it's falsehood. But the psalmist isn't like that. The psalmist is striving for the truth, and he says, Lord, if you do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, well then I can declare your statutes before even kings. Because the psalmist himself has experienced how God always comes through. Even when it doesn't look like it. Even in the midst of a situation which seems the opposite of God coming through in his promises, the psalmist has the confidence in who God is and in what God says. And then when we go down to verse 47 and 48, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. The psalmist is showing now his delight. We've talked about our response to God's word, and our response should be to delight in God's word, to delight in God's law, in the fullness of it. Whether it be his creative, his redemptive, his decisive word, or best seen all three together. We delight in it, and you see the excitement of the psalmist coming through. It's almost as if words are starting to be beyond him, and he's just saying, I love it. I love it. It is a wonderful declaration. It reminds me just the way this wee section is laid out. It reminds me of that passage in 1 John that says that we love because God first loved us. And that's what the psalmist, this wee passage, he started out by declaring about God's love being the foundation. And now as a result, he's coming and he's trying with his own, as much as he has, to return the love to God and to others. But here he's declaring his love for God and his love for God's word. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, it's one thing to... There's a funny film that our kids watch called, Sherman and Mr. Peabody. It's about a father-son relationship. And the father, the son goes, you know, I love you, Dad. And the son, and the father, the most he can bring himself to say is, I have a high regard for you too, Sherman. and it is very funny. I have a high regard for you too. And it just came to my mind as I was preparing this, because we can have a high regard for God's word without the passion of loving God's word. But it comes from that foundation. It's not something that we're going to be able to manufacture. It comes from the way the psalmist sees it. The psalmist delights in it. The psalmist meditates on it. The psalmist recounts it to himself. The psalmist is basing his life upon it. And the psalmist recognizes that everything that he is doing is dependent and reliant upon God's help. God, you know, last week, I can't even understand your word, Lord, unless you teach me. And even if I understand it, I can't even walk in it, Lord, unless you direct my paths. And even if I do all that, I'm going to be taken aside by all this selfish gain, unless, Lord, you turn my eyes. And here, I can't even speak truth, Lord, on my own. I need you to come through for me and not take the word of truth from my mouth. He's delighted. He loves. And this is his response to the word of God. He loves it. And finally, verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. We started off this morning talking a little bit about freedom and how really so few people know what true freedom is. The psalmist knows what it is. The psalmist knows what freedom is all about. And the psalmist has no shame to declare what freedom is all about. It's about the word of truth. What the psalmist is saying is, well, basically what the psalmist has done is he's cast himself upon God and the entirety of what God says, the entirety of God's word, and he's bound himself to it. He has, like, there's a wonderful analogy in the New Testament about becoming a slave. What's the term? A bond servant. Well done. Becoming a bond servant under Christ, and what that is, it's basically a voluntary slave, voluntary servant. And that's what the psalmist is. He's bound himself upon God and upon God's word. He's bound himself to God and to God's word. And you know what that does for the psalmist? It breaks the yoke of slavery in his life. That you see, this is what the enemy will always, and the psalmist has mentioned this throughout, this is what the enemy is going to try to stop you realizing at every twist and turn. The enemy says the law of the Lord is slavery and everything in the world is freedom. The psalmist says, everything in the world is slavery. Only as I walk in the word of truth am I truly free. That is what freedom is. It breaks the webs of lies. It breaks the need to serve self. It breaks the need to serve Satan and sin in our lives. Only the word of God. It's freedom. It's the truth. Even if it leads us into physical slavery. Even if, and you see this through the Bible. Look at some of the prophets declaring the word of truth into jail. Jesus, he was the word, arrested, killed. It is still freedom. It is still true freedom. Let's pray. Lord, we come first and foremost reliant on your love for us. We come first and foremost reliant upon your salvation that you have promised for us. Lord, we don't come with any of our own strength. Like the psalmist, we humbly come before you, dependent upon you. Not just for that once-off, not just for a once-off salvation, but every day. In general and specifically, we rely upon you. Lord, I pray in light of what we have read this morning, Lord, that you wouldn't snatch the word of truth from our mouth. But rather, Lord, we would learn to walk in the word of truth. You would teach us. You would direct our paths. Lord, because without that word of truth in our lives, Lord, we become slaves to hiddenness and secrecy. We become slaves to falsehood and deception, to sin and to Satan and to ourselves. But rather, Lord, let us know what the psalmist knows, and that is the freedom that comes in Jesus.